really going to come back to her and And it is a balmy, relatively balmy day today. Her niece is just here to talk to her. I have the host, Lisa Smith, and we have our first guest today, who is Rachel Schneider of the Chicago Media Action Project. Now, Rachel's here to talk about a Comcast merger with NBC Universal. Media Action has done an analysis of the field hearings held here in Chicago by the FCC. And we're going to talk about the impact on the general that that merger could have on everyone, and also what we discovered in your analysis, your report. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Mitchell.
All right. Tell us what you discovered when you did your analysis.
A little bit of background here. Comcast being the Comcast. Company everyone knows. One of the three cable companies that serve Chicago, and two of the five cable areas is new monopoly provider, the biggest cable provider, the biggest internet provider, and also one of the leading phone providers in the Chicago area. They are and have been since last December, so we're approaching a year now of the negotiations on this. Comcast is trying to buy out the NBC Universal Media conglomerate from its current corporate general license. If they do that, that would mean that a whole host of media properties, not just internet and phone, but also television,
content,
music, content, would all be under a single corporate roof to a level historically unprecedented. So Comcast has been trying to do everything they can to a level that I kind of find embarrassing to try to make this merger happen. So the government, by law, is negotiating, trying to figure out whether or not this merger should be approved. The Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, is one of the agencies that is tasked with doing this. And to their credit, they're receiving public comment. They've opened the docket. They've been soliciting content feedback. And one thing that they did relevant to Chicago was they held a forum on July 13th at Northwestern University Law School downtown. The FCC held a forum on what they called the public forum to discuss the proposed Comcast NBC Universal General Electric joint venture. Was the technical name. So they held, it was an all-day affair at Northwestern Law School. They held panels, they had discussion, and they also had a public comment period where members of the public could sign up for up to 2 minutes of commentary and talk about what they thought about the merger. I was a part of this, and in the course of waiting in line, it struck me as like, wow, there are a lot of people here who are kind of like talking about Comcast praises. But this is about the merger. I mean, Comcast is obviously a part of this, but they're supposed to talk about the merger. It seemed like that few people did, or actually.
Now, let's back up a little bit.
Yeah.
What you're saying, and it's my understanding that a lot of the people who spoke against Comcast for the projects couldn't get what? They get free access from Comcast? What do they get?
They probably get free access. They probably get some money, maybe a monetary gift. They also get the ability to use Comcast resources. You can actually hear radio ads where they say, hey, we've got these neat vans that we can deploy if you need transportation for one or another project. Things like that.
So basically part of their income is dedicated to
Yeah, no, they've made it to their credit, sure. I mean, to their credit, they're doing these things. Almost certain. Especially since Comcast's whole existence for being is, they're not a social service anymore. They're a for-profit business. Their job is to maximize profit for their shareholders at the expense of everything else. They're doing this only because they're required by law to be.
So at the public hearing here in Chicago, you're saying a lot of the private people came out and said, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
Does that have to be the merger?
That's exactly what we said. And this is actually, you actually go back to the hearing, and the FCC, to their credit, has posted the entirety of the video, more than 6 hours worth of the panels and the commentary. We, and in Chicago Media Action website, at chicagomediaaction.org, we've made available just the audio of the public commentary, because that's the focus of our analysis. 69 people testified. Oddly enough, it broke down almost exactly down the middle. 35 people spoke in favor of Comcast. 34 people spoke against
the merger.
About Comcast, not the merger. That's a different matter. Here's what's interesting. 35 people spoke in favor of Comcast. But of those, and we went through every word that was said, we found only 8 people of those 35 who spoke in favor of Comcast even mentioned the merger. Only 8 people mentioned the merger. What's even more curious is that you would figure with so many people to talk about this big merger that could have huge ramifications on our media and on future mergers that could happen, you would think that there would be a lot of reasons that would be offered about why Comcast should, why this merger should even happen. Zero. Not a single reason mentioned in favor of it by people who spoke on Comcast back. Not one. We went through the entire record. If you don't believe us, we make available the full audio of it more than 2 hours later. You can listen for yourself. We distilled it into an 11-page report that's available online, and you can also, as well as in a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet, where we review the entirety of not only who spoke, where they're from, various sets of demographic data on whether they were offensive or against the merger. Even something as trivial, but nonetheless a little bit of an interesting fact, whether or not there was applause heard after anyone talked. And that matters because, well, here's what's interesting about it. We found that there was, usually you'll find applause if someone gave a great comment. And we heard that 19 people of the 69 people who testified had applause. All 19 of those were people who spoke with critical comments. People who spoke, yeah. 19 people who gave said comments that got applause were all critical comments. Of the 35 people who spoke, nobody applauded. Not even by other people who were ostensibly in favor of Comcast. They applauded 19 people who were against Comcast, but not applause for anyone who was in favor of Comcast.
So what does this mean?
I read it as kind of it strikes me as circumstantial evidence to suggest that the people who were speaking in favor of Comcast were kind of doing it not of their own accord. I mean, you would figure it's like they feel so passionately about Comcast. So why don't they applaud if they're making such great points?
So you think they were sort of hucksters?
I wouldn't say hucksters. I would say that the Latin term would be quid pro quo. Okay. It's like, yeah, we're getting all these resources, we're getting money, we're probably even getting free cable or internet service from Comcast. And Comcast is saying, could you testify at this hearing that's coming up? Say something nice about Comcast? And there's actually some suspicion to think that maybe the people who spoke, those nonprofits who spoke at the hearing, didn't write those comments. We actually know, there's actually a New York Times article, this is no joke. We actually know because a New York Times article asked one nonprofit actually submitted written comments to the FCC docket regarding the proposed Comcast NBC merger. Who said basically that, yeah, Comcast is great, here are all the things that they did. And they later admitted to a New York Times journalist, we didn't write that, Comcast did. And they asked us to approve it, and they did. I gotta wonder, I mean, I don't wanna pretend that, you know, a conspiracy theorist puts people's words in people's mouths, but you gotta wonder whether or not the people who testified at that hearing on July 13th in Chicago actually wrote the words that they spoke.
I don't want to start saying that.
No, we'll know, but I'm just raising questions, that's all.
Okay. Now, one of the reasons this is so important is that everyone. Okay, Comcast is the biggest
cable company, biggest internet service provider, broadband, the third largest phone provider, and the company they're buying out is currently stands the fourth largest media company in the United States, NBC Universal. And Comcast itself, depending on the numbers, ranks maybe second or third among all media companies, just trailing Time Warner.
But now, the reason that we should care about this, obviously, because it looks like a monopoly, and especially since we're getting closer to like a convergence of communications and various telephone, television, internet services all going to be like one big pipeline for this time.
Right.
And, you know, the person who helps to build the company that gets to go live about all is going to have a lot of
control. The old saying by A.J. Liveling, freedom of the press is guaranteed to those who own one.
Okay. And so basically, you've got controlling delivery and content. full prices.
Yes.
If you have access to it. Now, what, any idea of what effect that's going to have on the media, like YouTube, Hulu, I don't know, iTunes, Netflix,
We have some. Obviously, we're kind of going through definitive answers. We don't know because we're kind of throwing our entire future of the media through what looks to be this gigantic experiment to see what happens. Is it going to be good or bad? Signs are that it's probably going to be very bad in a number of metrics. One is the buzzword is network neutrality. It's basically the idea that internet service providers are not too interfered with content. But when you have content and internet service provider under the same corporate roof, as what might happen if Comcast completes a buyout of NBC Universal, then suddenly that means that for people who want to watch an NBC main TV show or who want to watch a movie made by Universal Studios, you'll have to have Comcast, or if you don't, you'll may have to pay a lot more in order to be able to access it. So there are concerns there regarding Comcast for control, and also regarding conflicts of interest. There's an interesting story related to Chicago. I'm not supposed to swear, but I will say this. 5 years ago, two Comcast customers received a bill from Comcast where they were referred to by a derogatory term that began with the letter beer in their bill. I'm not kidding. This was in the Tribune, the Sun-Times, all the corporate media for about a week. Yeah, they basically refer to the word B and D, and I'm not going to say anything more. But you can look this back up, go back about 5 years, regarding the context. Two employees basically decided to make a joke about some customer they didn't like, apparently. They actually got fired. But nonetheless, I mean, here's the thing. Coverage about this that I saw was reported on MSNBC's website. Will MSNBC report that if MSNBC, as part of NBC Universal, gets owned by Comcast? That's the big question here regarding this. I mean, MSNBC, to their credit, actually did post it. I was able to find and link to a story where they outlined in great detail exactly what happened. Would that happen? Not just that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we found this allegation for years regarding NBC Universal and General Electric, which is a major weapons contractor as well. I mean, they were rah-rah regarding wars because they profit from it. And so NBC Universal and its predecessor, NBC, and all the media tentacles that they're from, wouldn't cover issues regarding war with any kind of critical eye. But these are concerns here that we have to raise, and we've been working on it at the Chicago Reaction website, the hearing itself in Chicago was apparently the only one that's ever been done. There's talk that the merger if it's going to be approved, and a lot of people seem to think it will, it would probably could happen within the next month or two, is what the received opinion seems to think, probably longer than that. The hearing itself not only did it have like 35 people, 29 of whom were nonprofits that apparently got money or some resource from Comcast, part of their Comcast charity program, but there were 34 people who did testify and who raised a lot of very critical issues regarding the merger and possible negative impacts that are to come from. We actually compiled a list, which I'll take a look at in a second, regarding some of the impacts of it. Not only regarding media concentration and all the negative impacts regarding localism and diversity and independence of content. But there's very likely going to be layoffs. Almost invariably, whenever you have a merger, there's going to be layoffs. So that means that local labor efforts are going to be stymied because now they don't have an in regarding content in the Universal or what they want out. There's been divestiture regarding content and people have raised this. That a merged Comcast NBC Universal would have a disadvantage regarding media content for like Telemundo, for Spanish language media, or for CNBC. Bloomberg has actually been a very huge vocal critic because their cable channel, they have a cable channel where they put on business news, would probably get shafted by Comcast. I'm sorry? Shafted by usually bad treatment as far as cable channel placement on a list of channels. Because the further down along, and there's been excellent studies of this done, the further, the harder it is to reach, the fewer people watch it.
People just don't get that.
They'll stop at like 50 or 60 or something. And also, or sometimes they might not even include you on the tier where the most subscribers happen to be up. And so they're just like, well, what say do we have in that? So what do we have to do? We can't because we don't have that kind of monopoly control.
No.
There's concern as well. Sorry.
I was going to say, one of the other concerns would seem to be that
the answer is it depends. Some of the jurisdiction regarding the internet would fall under the Federal Communications Commission, but some falls under other agencies depending on what's what. So Department of Justice, SEC, the Commerce Commission, some of it also depends on this. Regarding this particular merger, you have the Federal Communications Commission, the Department of Justice, and two congressional committees, one for energy and commerce and another for judicial, that have actually been looking at the potential antitrust ramifications of it for that very same reason. If the same company that's controlling the pipeline is suddenly shafting other companies for giving them for a ride, as we saw regarding a recent controversy regarding Comcast and a networking company called Level 3, where Level 3 and Comcast basically exchanged bits, and Comcast said, oh, you have to pay us now. And they're like, wait a minute, for years you just let us have our stuff, now you're paying us? What wound up happening was Level 3 actually cut a deal with Netflix. And so now it's just like, ooh, they're going to be tracking a lot more data. Money, money, money. They have a chance to put up nominal fees. Except that the more people download this for high-def movies, that's not just that nominal fee adds up fast. And so suddenly Level 3 is now filing a complaint at the FCC.
Okay.
And so what's going on here?
Back to the issue of monopoly, why isn't this seen as a monopoly?
The technical reason that FCC lawyers will say is because the merger doesn't, you don't see a whole lot of overlap on the industries that are involved here. If Comcast were like trying to buy out Time Warner or Cox Cable, then you might say, well, those are two cable companies, you don't want to have that. The thing is, what's peculiar about this merger is there's not a whole lot of overlap. Nonetheless, it's big regarding the amount of content under a single corporate roof. But you're not having an internet company and a cable company. You're having a company that produces movies, TV shows, is a music distributor, and has a lot of cable channels. I mean, admittedly, there's some cable overlap, but that's not seen as the big factor.
Okay.
But that's the technical reason here. But it is a monopoly. Because it's tremendous amount of control, and would open the door for a minute.
Smells like the monopoly. So you say it's probably one of the you need to wrap this up, but I'm wondering, when will you hear about the decision in AT&T?
It could be any day now. Probably won't be on a weekend. My guess is probably a little after the new year. But here's the thing. The longer this drags out, the better the chance for actually stopping the merger, because Comcast has been making promises, oh, we'll be done in like a year, year and a half, and a year, and maybe a little bit, maybe a month or two after. If it drags out to like April, I could very well see a situation where Comcast investors would get pulled to demand to Comcast, we don't want this anymore, pull out, it's been taking way too long, longer than you promised.
Okay, well, listen,
people should get involved with that, and it's still very much up for grabs, I think.
Mitchell, Defiantship, Chicago Media Action, where can you get more information? What's your website?
The website for Chicago Media Action is chicagomediaaction.org.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. I think you should keep an eye on this situation. And right now, we're going to take the show journey tomorrow. And we'll be right back with more live.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Gentlemen.
You're 22.
Did you hear what you said? Was it buzzy? Was it buzzy? Were you hearing buzzy? Good.
I don't
know. It was like... Okay.